I want to go into Hosea, 13th chapter. And here in this chapter, you're going to find out that God's people has always been in a way of rebellion. They're still in a way of rebellion when it comes down to the things of God. But I only have that one verse on my mind that's in this chapter. I want to just go down and just read it and maybe try to give you a little bit of background. Here in Hosea 13 and verse 14, he was inspired to write and pen down here. He said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. In other words, Hosea's, the Holy Spirit is speaking through Hosea, and Hosea is speaking like it's him, but it's not him. It's actually the Holy Spirit of God speaking through him. And he says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. It's going to be that of his people. It's going to be ransomed from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. He says, I'm going to redeem them from death. In other words, he's going to do away with death. He's going to redeem them, buy them back from death that they plunge their own selves into. Then he says, O death, I will be thy plague. In other words, he's going to be this individual is going to be the plague of death. He's going to do away with it. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In other words, he's going to destroy the grave. There'll be no more. It's going to come a time when there's going to be no more graves. Now, not in this world. Not in this world. This is a prophecy. Actually, these Old Testament prophecies, they were blessed of God to be able to preach and to prophesy about things into the future here they didn't even understand. Because I can take you over into Peter. Peter's writing says that they diligently desired to look into those things and to search those things out that they were being blessed to prophesy. So he says here, O grave, I will be thy destruction. In other words, it's going to come a time when that's going to be destroyed. And watch, I like the next part of this verse right here. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. In other words, this individual, which we're talking about God here, he says repentance. In other words, he's not going to change his mind. In other words, he's going to bring it about. He's going to accomplish that. You say, well, wait a minute now. You're talking about something that happened many, many years. I hadn't looked at my timetable here, but he was prophesying about something that was going to take many years later, probably hundreds of years later, that was going to take place. Well, Hosea ain't going to be around. He's not going to be able to know whether that prophecy come true or not. But you say, why in the world would he be blessed to be able to say something like that when he was blessed of God? But him being blessed of God to say something like that, brother, I'm trying to remember exactly where it's at, but I think it's over in Isaiah somewhere. It says that God can speak of those things that are not as though they were. You say, well, what does that mean? What does that bring about over here? In other words, God is an eternal God, and his years is forever. That there'll be no end to it. And with it being no end to it, God says, I'll bring it about. I'm going to bring it about. Let me back up just a little bit, and I want to try to go into a little bit of the history behind Hosea. I won't take time to sort of read all of this little bit of history, but here you're going to find out that Isaiah was the prophet during the time of the kings. You don't remember the kings when God had the kings ruling? All right, with those kings ruling, Hosea was the prophet during that stage of time. He actually prophesied from like, I think it was 770 to 725 before Christ. We're talking about 700 years before Christ. So in that neighborhood. All right? You go back and you look at all of that, and you're going to find, when you look at that, that Hosea actually prophesied over here for 40 years. I think that's about right. 40 years. All right? With him prophesying, he was continuously crying out unto Israel over here. And let me sort of just... And this is the time that he... It says, Hosea began prophesying at the end of the period of great material prosperity under King Jeroboam the second of Israel. You say, well, Brother Frank, where can I find that? Well, go to 2 Kings in chapter 14. I think that'll be a good place to start. He said, unfortunately, however, during the most of Hosea's lifetime, the people were spiritually bankrupt. Their leaders permitted them to practice idolatry, read about this in Chronicles, and commit spiritual idolatry against the Lord. They refused to recognize that God had provided them with the wealth that they possessed. And that's what I always say. Everything that we got in this life, this world, brethren, God blessed us with. God gave it to us. Amen. You said, wait a minute, brother Frank, how can you say that? Because everything belongs to him. I mean, he created everything. So with him creating everything, everything belongs to him. And it has pleased him to bless you with a portion of it, and as I always refer to use it for a short period of time. It's only going to be a short period of time that you're going to be able to use it. He said, in fact, they attributed their prosperity to the idols. Can you imagine Israel, God's people over here, that he's done so much for now, and they done got into idolatry, and they are beginning to say that these idols has blessed them with everything that they've got, and they've left God out? Brother, has Israel forgot all that God had done for them? Has Israel forgot that he brought them out of the house of bondage? Have they forgot that he brought them across the Red Sea? I'm talking about miracles here, brethren, that God performed on the behalf of Israel. Oh, yeah. Have they forgot all of that? Let me hasten on here. He said, the people had begun covetousness and greedy, oppressing those that were least able to defend themselves. Despite the punishment that God promised to bring upon them, is a strong attitude of hope that is evident throughout the book. Thus, Hosea brought back his unfaithful wife. Now, Hosea had married a harlot here, and I guess they had separated, a divorced or whatever, and now he's going to bring her back. But see, there's a great point in all of this. Now, great point in all of this. Israel will be redeemed by God in the last days. See here, Hosea there again is going back. And I think it is, I forget, it's in one of the books in the Old Testament that I remember reading where it says over here that there was a girl child born and there was none to salt it or swaddle it or do anything like that. And it says that God spread his skirt out, covered it up, and it was the time of love. And he said, yea, live, and she lived, and she began to grow, and she began to fashion over here. And as she began to grow and began to fashion, then it says she played the part of the harlot. In other words, brethren, that's talking about God's people here. They're leaving away from God, getting away from those things of God, playing the part of the harlot over here. And as you go through this book, you'll continually find where God continually over here, and Hosea was warning that of God's people over here. But then he gets through all of this over here, and then he says he's going to redeem them. He's going to do away with death and be the plague of the plague of death and the grave and all of that over here. He said, I'm going to destroy all of that. Well, here it is. We got to be sinners because of Adam's transgression over here. So all of us that's come forth was a sinners in this aspect over here. And I think Paul says over here in Romans 10 that over here he said, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. In other words, brethren, then he comes on down further and it says, even from Adam to Moses, that was yet no law, but he said men still died. Why did they still die? Because God decreed it, brother. He said the soul that sinned shall die. Amen. In other words, we all sinners. All in some shape, form, or fashion, brother, we've all sinned in the sight of God over here. So actually when you begin to look at that, we're all sinners over here, and you'll find in here where God is going to have mercy upon that of Israel to such a point and extent that he's going to redeem them and do away with them over here, brother. My mind starts looking down the road. When is this going to happen? He started this prophecy in 770 years before Christ. And he prophesied to 725 years before Christ. Time goes in reverse. I say reverse. In other words, you way out here and that of Genesis and the creation, with your date and your time, and then from that date and time in Genesis, you're going to come all the way down till you get to the time of Christ. When you get to the time of Christ over here, then the time, that time before Christ is fulfilled. I used to think that the B.C. always stood before the coming of Christ, but I understand now mankind has changed, and it's before the common era. Before the common era. And then when Christ come on the scene and Christ was born over here, you're going to find then when you get into the A.D., I always thought the A.D. was after the death of Christ over here, but mankind's changed that. It's after the common era. So in other words, man's going about to change all of that, but I still look at it like this here. It's after the death of Christ. So you're going to find out that God moved upon Hosea. He moved upon him to prophesy, to preach this over here. And all of that, brother, when you begin to look at it, what do you see? There's a spark of hope here. There's a spark of hope. Even though Israel, in the sight of God over here, was a harlot, they had played the part of the harlot. They had gone away from their God over here, brother. And they stood worthy of death. Worthy of death. I used to hear some of the older preachers say, if my soul was sent to hell, God's righteous law approves it well. Amen, amen, brother. This here is what we all deserve. This is what we are working for each and every day of our life over here. But hey, God had something else better for his people. He had something better, brother. And I tell you what, when I begin to think about it, here it is. I'm condemned and ruined, and I'm supposed to be done away with and put in eternal torment, brother. But here it is. God, this sort of mind baffles me, that God loved the people, brethren. He loved the people to such a point and to such an extent through here that he was going to be pleased through here, brother, to redeem them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, brother? I'm telling you, when I begin to think about that over here, brother, you say, what do I see in that? I see election, brethren. When did God do the choosing? In eternity. When did he choose? It was eternity, brother. Got a question. Were any of you in existence then? Did you have anything to do with it? No. None of us had anything to do with it, brethren. And this, again, is mind-baffling. That God looked. He looked, brethren, and with him looking over here, he saw a people over here that, brethren, he loved. Amazing to me. How in the world can you love a people over here that is continuously going against you? It's hard for me to understand. But then again, let us look at our own nature. When we begin to look at our own nature, brethren, our own nature itself takes us away from God. In every aspect of it. You say, oh no, I'm gonna be strong enough. I'm not gonna let Satan get to me. Look back over your life. Take inventory, brethren. You'll look back and you'll find time and time again where Satan got to you. Satan got to you. So we were deserving of exactly what we got. Even the punishment, brethren, that God put upon Israel in those days was just in the sight of God. I don't know about y'all, brethren. This is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. I may not see it all. I may not understand it all. And I may not grasp it all. But I tell you what, God's put something in my heart and my soul over here. It's the greatest thing on the face of the earth. You know, they have a thing on television sometimes, the greatest show on earth. My question is, Christ is the greatest show on earth. And His kingdom, brethren, what's His kingdom? I think I'm looking at it this morning. I believe God's done had mercy on me and blessed me to be able to see the kingdom. You know something else? What? He blessed me to be a part of it. Did you choose to do this on your own? No. You say, wait a minute, Bro Frank. I understand if I believe and if I join the church over here, I'm going to be saved. You say, why do you say that? Well, I talked to an individual and that was his view. Well, that's his view, but that's not my view. I tell you what, I was not expecting or planning on joining the church. I thought that'd be the last thing in my life I'd ever do. But when God got a hold of me, when God brought me down, like He brought the Apostle Paul down on the Damascus Road, brethren, over here, when He brought me down, who was I crying out to? When I cried out to Mom, Dad, you probably maybe heard me say this before, but it's still good anyway. No, I wasn't crying out to them. There was only one thing in my mind and in my heart. God, get me out of this mess, and I'll be at church on Sunday. It was God that did the work of grace in the heart. I think as Daniel says, He will remove the heart as stony heart and put a heart of flesh and love in there. And I'm telling you, brethren, if you're blessed in this world and you're blessed to have love, to love your family, to love your wife, to love your husband, whatever it is over here, this is the love of Christ. I think it in 1 John over here, around by the 3rd chapter, it said that God is love. Well, if He's love, and if we have been born of the Holy Spirit of God from in the heart, over here, brethren, not from the heart, but in the heart. If you've been born of God in the heart, over here, brethren, and that Holy Spirit of God, over here, has come and indwells you. Galatians tells us that we're indwelt by it. All right, we're being indwelt by it, brethren. You're being indwelt by love, and with that love, over here, brethren, you're going to have a love for things. You're going to have a love for things. You're going to have a respect for things. I tell you, you say, well, are you an animal advocate? No, not really. But I don't believe in mistreating them either. I don't believe in starving them like some of them I see on television. That's not right, brother. That's not right. Over here. He put a heart of care, a heart of care in you, brethren, that you care for others. You pray for others. Just like our little group here, which is to me a very good thing, that when these people have to go through these trials, brethren, we can hold them up in prayer, that God will be with them when they have to go through the surgery over here, and not only be with them, but be with the surgeons and all of those that's going to be involved, that they can go through it and come through it good. Oh, brethren, the power of prayer. The power of love. You're going to find, brethren, over here, God, even God's people here in all of this had done such a bad thing. God still had a love for them. Now, mankind ain't like that. Y'all saw that on television. I'm using this as a reference to make a point here, brethren. Kevin Costa, him and his wife getting a divorce, and he's going to have to pay her like $400,000. I think that's right, or something like that. She wants some of that money that he's got out of making all of these pictures over here. Well, that's a lot of money, brother, and I can't even imagine all that in my mind. But you sort of see what the flesh is doing. It's going to try to get everything it can. What did it say over here? At the end of prosperity. Jeroboam the king, it was a time of prosperity for that of God's people. In other words, they had plenty. Then it says they become what? Greedy. They become covetous. In other words, covetous is, hey, you want to just hold everything you got. I guess that's the best way to put it. Best way I know to put it anyway. Okay? They become covetous in all of this. And with them becoming covetous in all of this, brother, over here, they was going away from God. I say the more you give, the more God's going to give back. The more you give, the more God's going to give back, brethren. You say, how's that? You mean to tell me about money? No, I'm not talking about money. You can give your life, brethren, your time, your service over here, brethren, of living a godly life, doing what you can for others, to help others out over here that's going through a hard time or suffering over here, brethren. That's serving God. Amen. That's serving God, brethren. What can you say? Wait a minute, brother Frank. How can you say that's serving God? You remember the scripture here? How about y'all? This is great. He said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. I'm not talking about the big shots. The least of my brethren, what? You've done it unto me. If you've done it unto, if you was serving the least of his brethren, and that's like doing it under Christ. That's like doing it under Christ over here, brethren. If that be the case over here, you serve Christ. You serve Christ. And he's not a forgetful person. Amen. He remembers everything. I tell you, that's some things I'd like to forget. I'll be honest with you. But brethren, they did all of these things. Covetous. I know I need to get on out of the way. I said I wasn't going to be long. But I tell you, when the Lord gets in it over here, it's the most joyful thing in the world. I talked to one preacher over here, and he was talking to me. He said, Brother Frank, when you're up and the good Lord blesses you, he said, what is it like? Can you describe it? I said, no, I can't really describe it. But I tell you what, I said, that's the happiest feeling I ever had in my life. Why is he happy, brother? Because the Holy Spirit of God is there. Christ is there, the person of the Holy Spirit, brother. And it says over here, where Christ is at, there's light and there's liberty. Amen, amen. Where do you want to be? I want to be where Christ is at. Where is Christ going to be? In the church, his kingdom, that's on this earth right here, and he's ruling today. I know a lot of them say he's not, but he's ruling today. Even though they were sinful back in that day and age, and we are sinful in this day and age, and because of sin, we're going to die over here, and we're going to go in the grave. I still ain't got to my most important part yet. I'm going to change. Let me go back and read my verse again. God will ransom them from the power of the grave. I think Solomon says, this is a war that we're all in. That never ends. Let me back up. 1 minute. I got to hit. Let me hit one more thing right quick. I want to take you over here into the book of Ecclesiastes, brother. I want to lose my place here, brother. The old man can't find it like he used to. But let's go back over here. When it comes down to the time for you to die, or me, and it will come if this world stands, it will come. I want to read something that Solomon said. Notice here. All right, let me back up here. Let me start in verse 7. I want to go into the book of Ecclesiastes and Let me see what chapter I'm in here. Excuse me. Let's go into chapter 7. Let me read this first. I'm going to start reading right here in verse 7. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 7. Wait a minute. No. Excuse me. A young man is a more active than an old one. All right, let's hit verse 7 here in chapter 8. For he knoweth not that which shall be. All right, Solomon here is talking about man and even the children of God. He don't know what shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? Can anybody tell you? Can anybody tell you? You say, what's under consideration? Okay. Next verse. I think the next verse is going to explain it. There is no man that hath power over the spirit. You got power over that spirit? No. To retain the spirit. Can you retain it? Afraid not, brother. That's why I constantly encourage God's people, brethren, everywhere, that this thing is a thing of God. It's a thing of God. And God has to be present in the person of the Holy Ghost to bless a service and to bless you. And if that be the case, this is a spiritual place. Let me go a little further here. To retain the spirit. No, that's not a man on the earth can retain the spirit, nor can he control it. Neither hath he power in the day of death. Is there a man here, brethren, that's got power in the day of death? Most of them, I've been by the bedside when they took the last breath. No. They did not have power over it. They could not control it. They could not stop it. Why? Because God has decreed. Let me hasten on. He said, hath he power in the day of death? No. And there is no discharge. No discharge. In that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are... What did it say? Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to what it... What did that just say? I say it says election, brethren. Solomon here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, just said there are some people that's given to wickedness, given to it. And there are some people that's not given to it. The righteous, the pure. I used to read about the pure and the righteous in the Bible. I used to wonder about them. Those that's pure and those that's righteous is those that God made righteous, is those that God made pure. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be able to have that feeling in there, the touch of the Holy Spirit of God in the depth of your heart over here, and feel like God has made you pure? When are we going to be pure now? When? I think this prophecy here, like I said, we're dealing with probably 1,000 years or more. I hadn't looked all that up, but when you get this, brethren, it's pointing down the road to the time of what? When Christ would be crucified upon the cross. And with him being crucified upon the cross over here, and that blood being shed, and that blood being offered unto God, and God accepting that blood, and then Christ is going back to heaven, now seated at the right hand of the Father on high, to make intercessions for him. No, wait a minute. I got it right. To make intercession for us. Intercession for us, brethren. When he turns around and says over here, let me back up just a little. Here we go. Oh, dear. He said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. How's he going to do it? Through Jesus Christ? That's how you're going to be ransomed from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. I'm going to redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. In other words, he was going to be the plague of death. Who is it? Christ, a prophecy pointing to him. He's going to be the plague of it. He's going to destroy it, brethren. Notice then. O grave, I will be thy destruction. I'm going to destroy the grave. When is he going to destroy the grave, brethren? That grave is here now. In other words, brethren, if this world stands long enough, we all are going to die and be out here in the cemetery. When is it going to be, brethren? It's going to be when Christ comes back. And when he comes back over here and receives us unto himself over here, he said that ye may be where I am also, brethren. We're going to a land. We're going to a place. There'll be no death. There'll be no graves over here. You'll live forever, what? In righteousness. I don't know about y'all. I ain't got much. But I tell you what, I love this. Don't y'all feel the chill? Can't you feel the Holy Spirit? I tell you, brother, I'm a strong believer in that. A strong believer. And I tell you what, when God blesses a man to be able to preach, it's like me and that brother were talking about, it's the happiest feeling on the face of the earth. You know, only one thing wrong with it. It don't last very long. It won't last. It might last you a day or two, but then what happened? You begin to slip back into that old mode. You see here, brethren, the points that God has made with that of his children, with that of his people over here. And I'll get out of the way with this. Is there going to be a loss of any? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because Christ said over here, Father, can you imagine this? Can you picture this? Can you see it in your mind? Father, here am I, and all of the children thou hast given me. Not a loss of one. Not a loss of one. God bless you, my prayer.